A lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court in New York today charges Morgan Stanley with discriminating against African-American homeowners and violating civil rights laws by giving strong incentives to a subprime lender to issue predatory mortgages. The lawsuit was filed by the American Civil Liberties Union, the National Consumer Law Center, and a private law firm based in San Francisco on behalf of five residents of Detroit and Michigan Legal Services. If certified as a class action by the court, it could cover as many as 6,000 black homeowners in the Detroit area. Stuart Rossman, director of litigation at the National Consumer Law Center, says this is a groundbreaking lawsuit.
This is the first lawsuit that has been brought on behalf of homeowners against the investment banks on Wall Street who basically fueled and certainly controlled the subprime mortgage market in their community. And essentially, what we're asserting is that Morgan Stanley's policies of targeting these high-risk, high rate of foreclosure loans as part of their securities portfolio, essentially working hand in hand with the New Century Bank in the Detroit area, resulted in African American homeowners in the greater Detroit area having a 70% higher likelihood of receiving these toxic loans than the white consumers in similar financial circumstances.
New Century was the company that actually wrote these loans. They went bankrupt in 2007. How much control did Morgan Stanley have over setting the terms of the loans?
It had considerable amount, and that's what we've alleged in the complaint. Essentially, Morgan Stanley would decide what loans and what proportions they needed in order to pool them together, to bundle them together for security. They would then go to New Century and say, this is the kind of loans we need. This is the amount of the loans that we are going to require. These are the terms on which we will accept them. And they were directly involved in the closing process that New Century maintained, to the extent that they actually, for a period of time, had their own Morgan Stanley employees in the New Century's offices in the greater Detroit area. And then ultimately, the funding for these mortgages was coming from Morgan Stanley. They were not coming from New Century's funds. They were funds that were available only through Morgan Stanley. So they were determining which loans were needed. They were determining what the underwriting would be, and then they were providing the funding while supervising the entire process. We believe this was a complete hand-in-glove relationship.
Morgan Stanley was bundling these mortgages and selling them to investors. What was their take of the profit on this, and why were these more profitable than standard loans?
We do not have the exact figures at this point. We're going to have to do discovery to find out what they were paid for the service of putting together these security packages and then selling them. It is quite substantial. And the advantage for why they were targeting these particular loans is that they were able to market them as having a higher rate of return while at least touting the fact that they were backed by mortgages, therefore that they were safe and secure investments. Of course, you're familiar that there are a number of suits, both government and private, from investors claiming that they were misled as to the quality of these loans. The flip side to that is that the people who were getting those loans were actually getting loans that were far riskier than that should have ever been allowed and certainly had a much higher risk of foreclosure.
What is the breadth of operations of New Century? You're specifically focusing on the Detroit area.
They were all over. And yeah, Detroit was a relatively small part. They were based in California. But certainly they were, in Detroit, a major player. They were, if not the largest, certainly among the largest of the subprime lenders in Detroit during the period between 2004 and 2007. And they were responsible, probably, we believe, in the neighborhood, between 5,000 to 6,000 African-American homeowners in the area received loans through New Century during that time period.
So why did you pick Detroit?
Well, two things. First of all, we picked to do a city as opposed to a national case because we felt that for the purposes of establishing the principle of what Morgan Stanley's responsibilities were under the Equal Credit Opportunity Act and the Fair Housing Act, that dealing with one securitizer, dealing with one mortgagee in one community provide the most common base of facts that were most likely to allow us to get a class to be certified and allow us to get the issue before a court for determination. Why Detroit? it's because although this was likely to be happening around the country and perhaps with other investment banks and mortgagees, we had a clearly defined set of relationships that we were able to glean from the Massachusetts Attorney General's office and other sources. And if other areas were hit hard or hit badly, Detroit was to the extremes. I mean, this is a poster child for the abuses that have taken place and the degree of harm that was caused by New Century's activities in the Detroit area certainly spoke out for justice.
This is being pursued as a civil rights case, as violations of the Fair Lending Act and the Fair Housing Act. So what is the evidence that there was racial bias in this? Is it referred to as reverse redlining?
There are two types of discrimination cases. There's intentional discrimination and what we call disparate impact cases. We are not alleging that Morgan Stanley intentionally or knowingly discriminated. However, under both the Equal Credit Opportunity Act as well as under the Fair Housing Act, if in fact Morgan Stanley had policies which, when implemented, even if the policies were neutral policies, were implemented in reality resulted in a disparate impact on a protected class, in this case, the African-American community in Detroit, then they can be held liable under the statutes.
And the disparate impact was also a result of there being limited opportunities for credit and borrowing within the African-American community.
Well, that's the classic example of reverse redlining. You spend years depriving your community from access to prime loans and other normal commercial types of access to credit, and then when you have a toxic product that you want to move, you go to the area that had been starved and has no other alternatives, and for that matter, you have no competition in that area. No one is competing to place loans, and so therefore, since they needed a quantity of these loans, they went to the underserved community that had fewer options and fewer competition and foisted it upon that community that had been ignoring for the past 30 to 40 years.
If this lawsuit is successful, will it have implications for other lenders, other banks, other mortgage brokers?
We certainly believe that the practices that took place here were endemic within the investment community and that there is likely that there were other investment banks and other mortgagees that were involved in the same activities in other places around the country. We're using this case certainly because of the depth of the information that we were able to collect because of the relationship, but also the information we have regarding to Detroit, to establish the principle that when you're going to sell this product, you have to be concerned that it's not having a racially disparate impact. And if we can establish that principle, we believe that it will apply on a much broader basis around the country.
Stuart Rossman is the Director of Litigation at the National Consumer Law Center.